Hello there.
What's up, buddy?
Hi.
What's going on? Say, I have to apologize first for being a few minutes late, and secondly for the interruption that hasn't happened yet. My air conditioner is not working.
Oh.
So they're coming. The repair company is coming, guaranteed between 2 and 4 today.
Oh.
So at 2 o'clock, I called just to make sure, and they said, absolutely, between 2 and 4, he's already been dispatched. At 10 minutes to 4, I'm getting concerned, so I called again, and I was on hold listening. And by the way, I'm very important to them. The recording kept telling me this. I'm very important to them. So that was nice to know. But I finally spoke to somebody, and they go, oh, we changed it. He's coming between 4 and 6. And I said, was I supposed to know that? And they said, yes, somebody called you. And I said, and did I speak to them? And they said, yes. And I said, you have that in your records that I spoke to somebody? And she goes, oh, no. Okay. So anyway, hopefully they're now coming between 4 and 6. So when the doorbell rings, I'm going to have to answer. So I'm just apologizing in advance for that interruption that I really hope happens because it's very hot in here. And I have many fans blowing.
Hey, Phil.
It's nice to have so many fans.
Hey, yeah. Phil.
Yeah.
We have a company up here called Spectrum Cable.
Right.
They suck. But you call I called to report that the service is out, right, for the phone service here at the club. I didn't care about the house. You know, we got our phone service, we got our internet, and we got the entertainment.
Right.
The message goes like this. Thank you for calling Spectrum. We know people are having problems with the recent hurricane. We will not be dispatching our crews until the weather is better so we don't risk our crew's injury.
Okay.
Call back next week, and we'll be able to get to your problems. Now, this is the company that says DirecTV is evil, Spectrum is good, and that they guarantee 99% better service on their business phone lines, but they're not gonna even take a phone call.
Yeah, you know what, Tasso, and I don't mean to come off as angry. I am very forgiving. I mean, I see what people are dealing with. I am very, very forgiving, and I see all the power trucks, not only FPL, but from other states. I see the Xfinity, the Comcast. I just hate when people don't do what they said they're going to do. I would understand if they called and they said, hey, you know, we're not going to get there till midnight. I'd go, okay, great, I understand. It just frustrates me, you know, when they give you that window. Are you sure that, yes, between 2 and 4. You know, no, we just sort of forgot to call you. So I apologize if I sound irritated. I really know a lot of people have it a lot worse than me.
Yeah.
But that's just a peeve of mine is when somebody says they're going to do something and they just don't.
Wow.
Anyway. I am very, very thankful. As a matter of fact, I was supposed to go to Marco Island yesterday to help in the repair. There's a company called Volunteer Florida, and you sign up, and they give you a list. Like, you check off what you could do. And the only thing I didn't check off was, like, operating heavy machinery, although I thought it might be fun to try, like, a bulldozer. But I thought, I shouldn't check that box. And then yesterday morning, they sent an urgent text, do not come, do not come, do not come. They will be closing the roads because Donald Trump will be in the area. So now I'm going on Monday. But anyway, it was a crazy storm, and thankfully it wasn't as bad as everybody expected, but I don't take these things lightly. Tasso, you made out okay?
Yes, we did. Thank God. The best we've ever made out, I think.
Tammy, you made out okay?
Yep, we did.
Crazy that it came up to Orlando.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot of affected people here. A lot of my clients still don't have power either. So I did a post today on my Lang Fitness page about this is a good time because a lot of people have to throw their stuff away in the fridge. So I did a post on replacing your condiments in your fridge with healthy ones.
No, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Throw out the bad stuff and replace it with good stuff.
Yeah, how to make edits.
Yeah.
I picked out because those are the ones I had to throw away.
Very good.
And they were my good ones.
Okay. And meal replacements are always good in times of trouble, correct?
Yeah, I posted that too. Everyone's like, oh, my God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I was like, I have a pantry full of shakes and bars. I'm good.
You know, when I had my Eat product, and it was hurricane season, whatever year it was, I went on the radio and I announced that. I just said, when you're stocking up for hurricane season, you know, have some meal replacements. And I had record sales when the hurricane was, you know, kind of threatening. So, but it's legit. I mean, that's one of the things that you could always keep. You keep it on the shelf and it doesn't go bad and it gives you nutrition. All right, so listen, I know a lot of people who earn their careers in radio. And many of them are full-time DJs. Some of them are the top in their market. And when I used to go on these media tours, it was really, I guess, fun. I did have a lot of fun. But when you're doing a radio show and you're not there in person, you have to, like, take a minute and see what kind of show it is, because some of them are like morning zoo idiots, you know, and you have to kind of roll with it. So they go, oh, wait a minute, we have a fitness guy. Maybe he's like Richard Simmons. What do you think, Mikey? I hope he's like Richard Simmons. You know, and then you know you got to roll with that. And other times they're very serious. And they go, our next guest is a fitness expert. He's going to talk to you about how to lose weight during the holiday season. His name is Phil Kaplan. Mr. Kaplan, what do you have to share with us? So, you know, it's an adventure going through radio. And then I would travel around the country and I would meet some of these guys, and some of them really became lasting friends. So I just happened to speak to somebody. He called to check up on me and just see, you know, how I made out through the hurricane. And it brought me back. And he's a radio DJ. He was in the Las Vegas market. And he makes about $80,000 a year. He's a top morning show guy, but he's not like a morning zoo crew. He's just more of a very upbeat morning show guy. He plays some music. And when I knew him, he had a crew that made, I'd say, between $28,000 and $35,000. Like, if we looked at their salaries, there are probably four or five of them, you know, regulars on the show. And there was a time that we went to dinner, and he had a few drinks in him, and he started complaining. And he was griping about the owners. The more he drank, the more he complained. And as much as he griped about the owners, he raved about the music. And he would say, man, you don't know how I love the music. It's all about the music. I love all music. I love Steely Dan. I love classical. I love flamenco guitar. On and on and on about how he loves all music. And he loves playing music. And he loves appearing at the concerts, because he'd often like open a concert that was sponsored by his radio show. And go, you know, ladies and gentlemen, here they are, Van Halen. Love that. He loved introducing people to new music. And he lived his life to what he called an evolving soundtrack. Like, if you'd listen to any song, he would tell you, you know, where he was at that point in his life. He loved his crew. He loved his audience. He loved his family. So what did he have to complain about? The owners, ownership, the company, management, the company that owned the station. Why? Because all they cared about was money. And he had to do commercials for companies that he wasn't even a fan of. And he had to appear at car dealerships, and he hated that. There's nothing he hated more than doing these events at car dealerships, because the radio station had contracts. Hated it. Now, he loved appearing at festivals, but hated the car dealerships, because the festivals were about the music. Car dealerships were about the money. And I remember this rant. And in that rant, he said no less than 10 times, maybe 20 times, all they care about is the money. If we change this from radio DJ, does this at all sound familiar? This discussion. Does anything about it sound familiar? Because I'll tell you what it is. It's capitalism. It's putting the right pegs in the right holes. That's what capitalism is. When you start a capitalistic company with the intention of making money, you need workers. You need the people who are going to run the machines. You need somebody who knows how to work a bulldozer if you're in construction. So really what it is capitalism. This guy just happens to be a radio DJ, but that's his hole. He's that peg. Oh, this might, hold on. I'm sorry, guys. I hate to do this. Hello? Okay, listen, I want to tell you, I'm on a conference call right now, but I am absolutely home. I'm going to leave the garage door open, so you can just, Okay, I'll see you in a little bit, okay? Okay, thank you. All right, that's good news. So, capitalism. It costs money to buy a radio station. And once you buy the radio station, it costs money to pay salaries, and it costs money to keep the power on, and it costs money to repair the equipment when it breaks down, and it costs money to maintain a janitorial staff and a technical team and an overnight crew. And if the owners didn't care about money, they'd never have invested in a radio station, and this guy would never have a job. It's not only radio. There are historic battles between bands and their management, performers and their promoters. There was a time that I played in a band. I had an agent. His name was Rick Morgan, and he was very involved in bringing a band called Menudo to the United States. I doubt any of you ever heard of them, but they were a boy band, and they were Latin, and they were huge, and they were massive. Now, Rick Morgan didn't even speak Spanish. He never listened to boy band music. Oh, it was about the money. That's why he invested in them. So nobody heard of these kids, and then somebody invested money in them, and then they got famous, and then they get mad. Models get mad at their agents because nobody ever heard of them. The agents get them gigs. They make a lot of money, and then they get mad. My agent took all the money. There's always someone making money off of the talent at some point. And when the investor gets a significant return, the talent becomes resentful. So while A-Rod and Kobe Bryant and Peyton Manning couldn't even think of complaining, there are lots of minor league players who don't earn that kind of money. As a matter of fact, minor league baseball players, for the most part, earn $3,000 a season plus $25 a day for meals when they're on the road. $3,000 a season. Compare that to A-Rod. So there, we likely have true resentment. I mean, a minor league player might be a great baseball player. Billions are made by their teams. The major leaguers earn a multiple in the tens of thousands of times the minor leaguers pay, right? 3,000 times about 100,000. And the minor league baseball players who get on that field and play are paid less than the line cook at P.F. Chang's. Now, here's the flip side of the argument. They love the game. Get me that minor league baseball pitcher who's getting $3,000 a season, and I'm going to go, buddy, when you were 8 years old, this was your dream. You're getting paid to play the game you love. Nobody on your high school baseball team is getting paid, and you are. But he's resentful. Yeah, he always wished that he could get paid for doing what he loves. But now he's only getting $3,000 a season, and he's faced with a choice. He could approach it with resentment and anger, jealousy, or he could understand the game that he's really in. He's in a game of money. Whether he likes it or not, he aspired to be in a game of money. He loves playing baseball, but his aspiration was to be in a game of money. And if he recognizes that and understands that and embraces that, then he could step up, he could get better, he could excel, and he could start to care about money rather than alienating those who do. I could say the same thing about Broadway actors. Nathan Lane, I don't know if you know who he is, but he's a great, longtime Broadway actor. I actually saw him in a play, The Addams Family. He played Uncle Fester. He was great. But he was in The Producers with Matthew Broderick. They were paid $100,000 a week for the show. Now, keep in mind, they do two shows a day, 6 days a week. 100 grand a week. But most of their cast members were paid $1,300 a week, which is more scale. $1,300 a week, and they're getting paid $100,000 a week. The discrepancy isn't based on talent. There might be another actor in that cast who is more talented than Nathan Lane. What is the pay based on? Who can answer that?
His draw, his name.
Yeah. Which really comes down to one thing, value. How do I know? Well, Mike Tyson made money on Broadway. He's clearly not a gifted Broadway actor. So how did that happen? I'm going to tell you how. Spike Lee. Spike Lee saw Mike Tyson's value as a draw, and he financed it. And that's the way it works. So how does that translate to us? Well, going back to my humble beginnings, I was paid $4.50 an hour at Jack LaLanne Health Spas to make people feel as if Jack LaLanne Health Spas cared about them. Really, that I didn't know that that was my job back then, but that was my job. The company, that was all about money, didn't know those people, so they paid somebody. I happened to be the peg for that hole. $4.50, because the law said they had to create the illusion that the company cares about people. Was I important to them? No. Was the value in my talent? Not one bit. Because if I wasn't there, it would be somebody else. Now, if I had an ego driving my thought process, I would have felt differently. I would have felt like I'm being treated unjustly. How could they pay me $4.50? I did get resentful when I found out what the salespeople made, because they didn't care about people. They didn't help people. They just made money. But their value to the company was far greater than mine. Now, when I became a national director for the Bally's Health Club chain, I had a much greater value. $160,000 a year plus overrides on grand opening revenues plus a generous expense account. And I'd have to say, much more talent was required then. I wasn't paid for my fitness passion. I wasn't. I was directly tied to revenues. I had proven that if they bring me in prior to a grand opening, the company would make more money, so I have greater value. So the closer you get to being the revenue pull, the greater your value to the investor. I really think this is a lesson that people should learn before they go to college. I mean it, because it sounds so obvious to you now, but people don't understand it, which is why there is so much resentment. There is that gap, the us and them. Now, if you want a clear illustration of the non-value of the personal trainer in the health club field, I'm going to give it to you in two words. Planet Fitness. Planet Fitness went public. They did an IPO in 2015. And they showed consistent growth every single quarter of every single year since. In fact, in the first quarter of 2017, Planet Fitness grossed $91 million in revenues, $8 million more than the same quarter a year earlier. Now, trainers will grumble about that company. They're terrible. They're terrible, terrible, terrible. They don't care about people. But do you think the investors care about people? They took money out of their bank account and put it in stock. Because they care about people? No. So how did Planet Fitness have this phenomenal quarter? Well, in the last quarter, they opened about 50 new locations, bringing them up near, I think it's 1,300 or maybe closer to 1,500 locations. Now, in a lot of companies, that's a risk. But for Planet Fitness, it's not a risk. It's not a risk. It would be a risk if they had personal trainers, because then there would be a variable per club cost. But they don't have personal trainers. So when they opened 50 new locations around the country, this is interesting, their same store revenues increased 11%. I want you to think about that. They didn't invest more money in the individual store. They didn't invest more money in the Charlotte, North Carolina store. They didn't invest more money in the suburb outside of Chicago store. They didn't invest more money in the Royal Palm Beach store. They opened 50 new clubs, and the existing locations increased their revenues by 11%. Why? How does opening new stores help in-store sales? Because there isn't any service variable. They don't have personal trainers. The profits are pure. In other words, membership equals profit. If you take a company that has a variable personal training cost, there's a much greater risk. They don't have that risk. It's black and white. People pay money over the counter, they sign a contract, the company becomes more profitable. So administration is centralized. When they open 50 new stores, they don't have to open 50 new administrative offices. They don't have to open any. They already have them. They don't have to get 50 new marketing directors. Marketing is centralized. So the costs don't increase with new stores. Only the impact does. And amazingly, if you guys are ready for this, 40% of Planet Fitness's new members are first-time gym goers. They're not just appealing to the people who paid $50 a month and want a cheaper gym. Their marketing is attracting non-gym goers. Now, what do we likely know about those members? They don't show up. We know that. They go, whoa, they saw the commercial. It's only $10 a month. They'll do it. They go twice and they never go back. Does that make them a bad company? No, because they never said their intention is to get people all of these great results. They said their intention is to provide a facility for everybody for $10 a month. And that's exactly what they do. They don't have a single personal trainer on payroll. So when I ask the question, is it fair to say that Planet Fitness delivers a quality product? Most trainers would say no. Now, if I were an investor, I would see the benefits. I go, okay, well, number one, it opens a much wider market because I'm not relying on people who work out regularly. I'm just relying on people. And it certainly saves on the costs of wear and tear and repair. So is it fair to say that they deliver a quality product? And trainers worldwide, I'm telling you this, would say absolutely not. They're horrible. Because trainers are naive when it comes to business, and that's nothing new. Trainers are the DJ. We love the passion. We love the helping people. We help, we help, we help. We care, we care, we care. We starve, we starve, we starve. We hate the company because they're all about money. Now, look at all the personal trainers who have jobs because of health clubs. Look at all the personal trainers who got their start in health clubs. So while a few weeks ago I clearly separated the two, there is a synergy. They have helped our industry. So trainers get really resentful when they try to swallow the concept that health clubs don't need trainers. But Planet Fitness has proven it's true. They don't need trainers. It serves them and their investors to not have personal trainers. It is a quality product with a strong market presence, with a track record of growth, with a vast market, and clearly it's a very solid business model. But trainers hate it, just as an on-air DJ hates management. So now you guys are wiser, smarter than that. You can appreciate that they're in a different business than you. Might it bother you globally when you see people losing money? Sure, but is that Planet Fitness's fault? No. Have they outmarketed you? Okay, well, you're still in the game. They market a facility. So if you really are in a separate business, then this shouldn't bother you. You should see the opportunity here. It shouldn't impact you in the least. If Planet Fitness grows to have 25 million members, it shouldn't impact you in the least. But you've got to get that mindset. You can't be the angry DJ who only makes $80,000 and all they care about is money. That angry DJ should be happy that the company is paying to put food on his table. I understand it. Believe me, I understand it. But when you take emotion out of it, this is capitalism. I spoke to a studio owner today. He hired somebody, and he was paying the, I'm going to say kid, I don't know that it was a kid, $30 a session, which is pretty good for starting personal trainer. And then he said to the kid, listen, you have to start to generate your own business, and the kid quit. Well, of course, because somebody who's happy just training people and getting paid $30, he doesn't want to do anything more. So you guys have certainly evolved in that you recognize the importance of marketing, but none of you are ever going to be all about money, but you do understand the importance of it. You have grown beyond that point where you resent those people who are all about money, and now you get to a place where you go, it would be really nice to be able to make more money. If there is any lingering resentment, it's the fact that you're not paid in line with your talent. But what I'm telling you is in capitalism, that's the way it goes. You are paid in line with your value. And if you have a tremendous amount of talent, such as a guy who may play third base in the minor leagues, but nobody knows your name, then you're worth $3,000 a season, not $300 million a contract. And that's a pretty wide gap. If you're selling out tickets on Broadway, you're worth $100,000 a week, even if you're not a good actor. And the best actor who's playing a bit part is not that valuable, despite his talent. So at this point in your career, you've got to get in the game or decide what game you're in. But if you're in a game where the rules are, the better you are as a trainer, the more money you make, I really haven't seen that game find a winner. I might have shared this with you more than once, but Joe Weider said to me, you can have the greatest product in the world, but unless you know how to market it, you'll starve. Conversely, you could have a mediocre product, but if your marketing is the best, you'll make millions. That bothers people with talent, but it's appealing to entrepreneurs. So you've got to decide, what game are you in? Any thoughts on anything I've shared so far? Do you think I nailed it in terms of the trainer's perception of a company that's all about money? Yes, so you didn't suffer any damage in the hurricane in your club?
No.
You have windows in your club?
I do.
You have impact glass?
Yes.
If a window broke because a brick was flying in a 200 per mile hour wind, came through and smashed the glass, how much would the trainers have to pay to repair it?
Nothing.
Do you think they appreciate that?
No.
They don't. It's not even a consideration that there is opportunity because Tasso opened a health club and owns a health club for these guys to earn a living. Now, Tasso, Tony, you know, we've been on both sides, so we can understand it, but we can't expect them to understand it. So we do at least conceptually grasp both ends of this equation. So here's a question. Is it possible to create a pure experience? Remember I spoke about the purity of the mission. Is it possible to create a pure experience for the music, for a musician, or for the sport, for an athlete, or for the love of the game, or for the passion of fitness? Is it possible to create a pure experience and truly be financially successful without money being a primary issue? Because that's what all the trainers, musicians, DJs, that's what they want, the pure experience. People should just come because we're talented. People should just come give us money because of what we've learned and studied. Those companies that they just care about money, they do marketing, they do deceptive things. No, 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 no. It should be pure. People should just come to us and give us money because we're valuable. But value is subjective. So is it possible to really create a pure experience where you get the musicians just for the music and everybody does really well? Or you get the athletes just because of how gifted they are as athletes? Do you think American Ninja Warrior is just for the athlete? It's just for the purity? Or is somebody, the company, making money? Give me a yes or no, just your opinion, because I have an opinion here. Is it possible to create a pure experience without money being an issue?
It is if you already have money.
What do you mean?
Someone asked me if I won the lottery, what would I do with the money? You know, would I be off and never open, you know, close the club? I said no. I said I'd lower my prices. And I'd pay my people more, and I'd run the ship the same way, but affect more people's lives.
Tasso, find me that guy. I hear that. I do. I can even get behind that, but I don't see it. I don't see lottery winners doing that. I mean, you know what I see right now?
All of my neighbors,
about 2 hours ago, raised money to buy gasoline for an animal shelter because they still don't have power. That's what I see. So, okay, if somebody won the lotto, maybe they would give power to the animal shelter. But what I don't see is somebody has money doing what they always did and just paying people more. I don't see it. I mean, I get the nobility of the concept. It's a nice idea among people who haven't won the lottery. I just think when you win the lottery, you go to Fiji or something. I don't know. But taking that out of it, is it possible to create a pure experience and make money? In other words, can the actors really do what they do for the craft itself and get paid? Can the DJ who hates the company be a DJ and play the music that he loves and get $80,000 without the company doing all the marketing and paying the cleaning staff? Is it even possible? I think no. I don't think so. I haven't seen it. Now, by the way, this isn't a new concept. I mean, even Woodstock had promoters. Woodstock was supposed to be hugely profitable. But the truth is, it was a disaster that turned into a phenomenon. But you know how much the Who got paid to be there? Zero. Here's a little known fact. If any of you have interest in little known facts. Hey, listen guys, the AC person just walked in. So I'm going to put you on hold. Stay here, talk, all right? And I'll be back, thank you. Is that all right? Somebody give me a yes, it's okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes. So don't go anywhere.
Hey, Tammy.
Yes.
Hey, how's Tony doing with his Beamer?
I think he's doing pretty good, except for he's taking it home, and then people pay him, and he doesn't come in early on Tuesdays and Thursdays and bring it in, so he needs
to. I had to buy another one because my members got pissed off.
Yeah, he was putting another trainer that bought one from him on the spot. She's like only works 3 days a week, so she had to kind of help coach her how to deal with it because he flies off the handle easy.
Yeah.
And then that's why all the trainers get pissed and leave. And I'm like, that's his reaction. Just approach it. He's a businessman, And so, anyways, he apologized and I think he got the picture. But he does need to get another one. He's had some great results.
Yeah. I had a great month in Beamer. It's helping, I've added into some of my premium packages.
Uh-huh.
And, man, it's just awesome. That and just getting the people's nutrition straightened up.
Well, what he does with us as, independent contractors, if one of my clients wants to use the Beamer for a month, they pay $100, he gets $50, and I get $50. I'm like, well, that's a good deal. For referring them or whatever, so that's how he handles. Who else is on the call?
April's on the call.
Hey, April.
I'm here, Jason.
Hey, Jason.
What's going on, guys?
Why so glum, chum?
I just get my kids and everyone's just going crazy, so I'm silent.
Hey, down here, the kids went back to school, and because of the hurricane, they've been out all week. You should see the parents walking into place. They're like, their eyes are all back in the back of their heads. What's the matter? My kids are home. The kids have been cooped up for 3 days because of the hurricane. They're running around like crazy, killing them.
We have a lot of sore people coming in from cleaning up their yards.
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
My girlfriend's apartment condo got flooded. I tear all her carpet and all her furniture got thrown away.
Yeah, that stinks.
It's the capacitor. That's it.
It's within our capacity.
She's fixing the capacitor.
Cool.
Right now. So I think I'm going to have AC. Thank you, guys, for bearing with me through that.
Okay.
All right. Yes.
So do you not think that the evolution that we're going through, I know you think we understand the whole existence of Planet Fitness and know how to prosper because of it, but do you not think that what we've begun to evolve in this group is what you just asked the question about, that we are enjoying our trade, we are benefiting from it, and we are creating revenue because we're serving as the owner and the technician. And because when my guys come into work for me, the initial interview is an explanation of why we aren't Planet Fitness, why we aren't Golds, why we aren't. And I show them the disease continuum and say, this is who we are.
Yeah. And Tasso, we use an important word, evolution. So your evolution has been that. You came to understand that there is a value to your talent, but it's had to be enhanced. It had to be marketed. You have to get in front of people and speak. You've come to affiliate with doctors. You didn't do that accidentally. That was all a part of you intentionally, by design, increasing your value. It wasn't just because Tasso's a talented trainer. When you put together an event and you have somebody stand beside you and they speak medical and you speak fitness, that's calculated. That's intelligent. That's not just because Tasso's a good guy. That's because Tasso's become an entrepreneur who's developed a level of sophistication, creating the value that most trainers wouldn't understand they have to create. Do you follow?
Oh, absolutely.
So So there is a naivety to those trainers who are not willing to do that. So they will look at you and they'll go, I just want to do what Tasso does. He just speaks. I want to do what he does. I want to stand at a medical group and speak, because they don't understand that you're not the trainer. You're the entrepreneur who figured out how to create value for his talent. But most trainers don't get that. They want to be valued for their talent. And it is the person who is money conscious, in this case you, who is looking at a financial return. Whether you look at your financials weekly, quarterly, or monthly, you're looking at your financials. And you're brainstorming. And we're having conversations about how you can market differently or how you can strategize differently, because you have this awareness that most trainers don't. I will tell you, this applies to doctors as well. There are very resentful doctors because they look at Dr. Oz and they go, what he said? I could have said that. There's a resentment because they don't understand what Dr. Oz had to do to become the Dr. Oz that they know. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're a little bit ahead of where I'm going, is you kind of figured that out, that, yeah, we're talking about an evolution. We're talking about this group moving forward, so you guys have developed an essence of what it takes. You didn't start going, this is about money. You started on the other end of the spectrum. You started going, it's the purity of the talent. It's what I do, and people should pay me a lot because of what I do. And then you grew resentful at some point. You know, why is Planet Fitness making all this money when I'm so much better? But then you manage to create a recognition where you go, hey, they could do what they do, but they're not creating lineups of doctors doing talks. They're not talking to people about the benefits of essential oils. They're not explaining the triangles. So all of that is you evolving into the company. Do you understand?
Yes.
And you also understand that most, and when I say most, I'm talking 99.999999, personal trainers don't grasp that. They want to be paid because of what they've learned, studied, or because of what they believe their great talent is. And when they look at you, they think, I want to do what Tasso does. I could do that too. I could get in front of a group of people. I could talk. I could draw triangles. So you didn't create this from the purity of your talent. You evolved into taking on some of the traits of the company. Now, the trick is doing that without selling out. You could have gone another direction. You could have said, okay, I'm going to pay people as little as I can. I'm just going to offer discounts. You didn't do that. But you've become a hybrid. You're no longer just the trainer. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah. And Phil, I think there's two or three things that really drove this home for me long before this phone call. And number one was, you know, I struggled with for years because I had an 11,000 square foot facility here. I struggled with years of taking the front 7,000 and making it basically a Planet Fitness model. You know, having 5,000 or 6,000 members at $10 a month. And then marketing to those people that were coming into that facility the expertise of what a one-on-one center would be. And there were a couple of people I talked to, and one of them you know very well, which is Victor Brick, and the other one was a guy named Ken Ryder that owns about 11 Planet Fitness. And he says, don't do that, because number one, the people who pay $10 a month are not buying one-on-one programs for the most part. Number two is that your caring for how you care about what you do will eat up your time for no money and no value, because you won't be able to walk in your club and ignore a person that's paying you $10 a month, because you don't walk in the club and ignore a person that only pays you $50 a month. So it's going to eat up your time. And then I think the other one is in the orientation I do, I start with your synergy triangle. And I tell them that every personal trainer they've ever talked to will talk about this triangle. And the point of that it is what they do in some way, sense, or form. They have their own philosophy towards it. But what separates us is the understanding of the six-point solution.
Good. So that's you marketing. your ability to say that, your ability to separate yourself from the rest of the field, which is what you just described, is you better becoming the company. Because if money was the concern, Tasso, you wouldn't have to do that. If it was just about the purity of taking people through fitness workouts, you wouldn't have to do that. So I mentioned Woodstock because people look at that and go, it's just about the music. It was about music and peace. No, it wasn't. It was four guys who thought they're going to make a fortune. They did a festival the year before in Miami. They made a small fortune. They thought, okay, now we're going to get all the greatest bands and we're going to make a big fortune. Michael Lang sold 500 three-day passes to this festival, a celebration of music and peace at Yasgur's Farm, for $18 each. So the thinking was, if this guy could sell 500 three-day passes at $18, then we could sell 50,000 at $18. We'll make a fortune. We're going to pay this guy Yasgur to use his dairy farm. Because it's on private property, we can get the porta potties, and we can rent space to food vendors. They'll pay us a lot of money. So Woodstock was very capitalistic. But what happened is they didn't have time to build a fence. They didn't have money to build a fence. People started showing up. They had no way to sell tickets. Nobody was organized enough to collect money from anybody. It became a free-for-all. It started raining. There was mud. They threw up their hands, and they said, there's nothing we can do. Nobody got paid except Richie Havens. He got paid in advance.
$1,500, right?
Yep. So what Tasso is describing is not only possible, it is the avatar of what we're looking to be. It is the entity that is able to make money by highlighting the value of what we already really do out of passion. Major League Baseball isn't run by people who have a passion for baseball. Major League Football isn't run by people who have a passion for playing football. So there's that discrepancy, the same as the trainer in Planet Fitness. There's the us and the them. But can we become both? How can I say we can become both if I can't even give you an example of the possibility? Where are we really in the equation? Well, I'm going to tell you some exceptions that I know. Joe Cerulli, Dr. Mark Hyman, Joe Weider, Lee Labrada. Now, are these the only four? Of course not. These are four that I know personally, that I know intimately, that I've been to lunches and dinners with and weekends, and they're friends. They're people I would call my friends. Joe Cerulli, Mark Hyman, Joe Weider, Lee Labrada. All of them helped inspire me or encourage me to find my place in earning without ever giving up the integrity that led me to this field. Because believe it or not, and some of you may question this about Joe Weider because you didn't know him, none of them were about the money. But all of them came to realize how important it is to make money. They didn't just sit back and go, you know, I really care about people. I'm really good with people. I should really be paid a lot of money because of that. They had to strategize, figure things out, go through challenges. Every one of them went through difficulties. I mentioned Lee, which may surprise you, but I'll tell you this. Professional bodybuilding, call it a sport if you will, call it an art form if you will. I don't know what to call it anymore. But I will tell you this, having been around that, what do I call it? Having been around the world of professional bodybuilding at some level, less now than years ago, but at some level for 20 plus years, having been backstage at many Mr. Olympias, having written for their magazines, having known the bodybuilders personally, It's not a surprise to you guys when I tell you that the drugs are far more important than the training and the eating. That doesn't mean all of them didn't start with a true dedication to training and eating. But when they cross a certain line, it really becomes about the science of chemistry. And when you look at all of the professional bodybuilders who have died before the age of 40, you know, more every month, it's horrible. I'm mentioning Lila Brada because with the exception of Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is a true phenomenon, I don't know any professional bodybuilder to come out of that sport to leverage what he achieved as a true business person. And Lee has done it beautifully. You know, he wins Houston Businessman of the Year Award. He's tremendously philanthropic. So I look at his evolution, and it impresses me because he truly was passionate, but not so caught up, not so gifted, not so talented that he could say to people, just give me money. He said, hey, I'm going to do what I have to do to win some titles. But I have an education, and I have ambition. And I'm going to do some marketing, and I'm going to create something with value, and I'm going to invest. Dr. Mark Hyman, when I met him, was the doctor at Canyon Ranch. He wasn't all about money by any means. What changed him? He got sick. I don't know if he shares this story openly, but he went to China, and he got very, very, very sick. He had mercury toxicity. Nobody seemed to have an answer, and he figured it out. And the more he learned, the more he became well. And he moved away from Canyon Ranch and opened his own business in a house in Lenox. Very modest. But he had a message, and he stayed true to that message. But he started calculating, what do people need to hear? And how can I do this in books? And how can I do this in recordings? So are there doctors who know as much as him or more than him or more talented than him? Probably. But nobody's looking for their endorsement because nobody knows their name. Their value is not in their talent. But it's encouraging to look at people like that and see what they've built. So now, I have a new language. You know, Tasso mentioned the synergy triangle, and he talks about that being something to all personal trainers teach. The first time that showed up anywhere was in my first book, Mind and Muscle Fitness for All of You. Prior to that, nobody, I'm not saying I invented the word synergy, but nobody described it that way. The right nutrition, moderate aerobic exercise, and a concern for muscle. As a matter of fact, prior to that, nobody said moderate aerobic exercise. Nobody used the language of concern for muscle. People said resistance exercise and aerobics. So over the years, I developed a language. But when I look at the last 5 or 7 years, I feel like I've developed a new language, a different language, a better language. And there's really something to leverage that's different. And you guys share in that language. It's more than a program. I see what we now have as an intervention. Prior to coming to work with the medical field, I never would have even thought to use that word. But it gives it credence because surgery is an intervention, medication is an intervention, counseling is an intervention, and now this protocol is an intervention. And maybe it's more. Maybe it's a movement. Because what we talk about isn't only fitness, and we couldn't say it's medicine. But it's something that overlaps both. So my question becomes, can we as a group now capitalize on this, on the purity of this? Yes. Uh-oh. You got to go to the bathroom and then tell me the bad news?
No.
You need a part?
Yeah.
Shit. Okay. She got bad news. So for those of you who listened to the recording of the last call, you kind of know where I'm headed in this idea of creating this group of people who come to understand this concept of transgenesis. Because it's not out there right now. Nobody else is using this language. Nobody else is using this terminology. Planet Fitness certainly isn't. But either are personal trainers. And with the exception of the few doctors I work with, either are doctors. So do we have something now at this point in our collective evolution that we can truly capitalize on? Realizing that, yes, this is capitalism, that everybody here deserves to make money. But we could do it with something that is pure, something that is real, something that is different, something that has never been marketed. Can we capitalize on social media without playing into the game that so many people do? That's the question I want you guys to consider. Everyone understands the concept of five a day. Everybody has experienced that to some level. For me, it's become easy. For others, it's a little more difficult. But everybody grasps it. So what if five people a day, instead of coming to your event, instead of coming for a consultation, instead of coming for an intake, come to a Facebook group? All right, guys, hold on a second.
They put the compactor in it, started, but the bearings are bad in the motor. I got an order motor in there waiting for you.
How long is that going to take?
You're probably looking at Tuesday.
All right, guys, don't come over to my house until Tuesday because I won't have AC.
Hey, well, I was waiting for a gunshot. I was waiting for you to shoot yourself or something. I'm very proud of you, Phil.
Why?
My first response would have been, you motherfucker, you're not fixing it today?
All right, well, I just want to say this to you, Mike. The person who showed up,
yeah.
His name is Tiffany.
God bless her.
I don't know what. Easily 6'5".
Yeah.
I would say 240. With long blonde hair and boobs. And his name is Tiffany. But all right. It's 2017, Phil. Right?
Oh, God.
you got to meet the client where they are.
That was something. All right. So, yeah, I wasn't going to say anything threatening. I was like, okay, whatever you say, Tiffany. Tuesday, good.
Hey, Phil, when I came...
Nothing worse than getting your ass kicked by Tiffany, right? Imagine that.
Hey, Phil, when I came into the club after the hurricane, the only damage we had was that someone had left the access door to the roof open, and all this debris and water had come in. So I've cleaned it, and I got a big smile on my face. I'm just whistling away. My girlfriend goes, "Why are you so happy having to clean all this stuff up?" I go, "It ain't shit, honey. It ain't shit. I had to cut out carpet and pick up shit last year. It ain't shit. I'm happy."
All right. So I'll be happy. I was a little scared there for a minute, though, with Tiffany breathing down my neck. All right. So anyway, let me go on. I did want to take a picture, but I couldn't figure out how to do it to show you guys. I'm sure he's very nice. Where was I? What were we talking about? Bruce Jenner?
You're talking about using the new language, transgender.
No, as a matter of fact, it's funny because he was standing here, and I said, because he was waiting for me to get off, you know, to pause, and I said transgenesis, and then I like choked, like, oh, shit, did I just say something? All right, anyway. So I was talking about what if collectively a group of trainers who understand a language that other people don't, who have an ability that other people don't, who have a talent that other people don't, collectively drive people into a forum. And what if this group could work within this forum to connect, to share their talents, to share their wisdom, but all within a paradigm that nobody else understands. So when a potential client is part of this group and they go to their personal trainer and they go, "Hey, what do you think of circadian nutrition?" The trainer's going to go, "What are you talking about?" Because they're not going to get this anywhere else. You know, they'll ask their trainer, their doctor, "Do you know the 6-point secret?" "What's that?" So in this group, we speak the language, not giving away the program, but just as you would in a seminar. But it becomes an open dialogue, a discussion, where we speak to initially 20 people and then 50 and then 500 and then 10,000 and then 2.5 million. And I'm not kidding. What if that brings together capitalism and the unique talent that everybody here has? What if all that has to be done in terms of marketing is driving people into this group? You could get me any business book and I'll show you why this makes sense. You can get me Reese and Trout, you can get me Napoleon Hill, you can get me any business book, and I'm going to show you why this makes sense. Because it is a collective energy of the hybrid, the talent and the person who understands that this has to be capitalistic. But it's not one versus the other. It's not building something that has to be supported by massive amounts of dollars so that you guys can be hired as talent. The investment is nothing more than conversations. Everyone simply drives 5 people a day to a Facebook group. And it could grow outside of a Facebook group. Long term, it could be something else. But it's bringing people into our neighborhood. And if you guys like this idea, I want to discuss it. I want you to contemplate it. And if you love this idea as much as I do, then our next series of calls will reinforce and help to perfect an understanding of a 20-week process in 3 parts. The metabolic reboot, which is a 21-day program, $800. The Alive Protocol, which you're all familiar with, but we would again reinforce it. And then a 4-week process that I call completion, which came out of my working one-on-one through what I called transgenesis with some different types of people. What if our products were sold within that? In other words, within this large group where we communicate, nobody's locked into a 21-day program or a 13-week program. That's the product they buy. when you hit the right button, when you say the right thing, when people believe you're the vehicle, they go, Tony, I'm ready. I want to sign up for your 21-day program. And you go, great, $800. Now, if anybody here is the company, of course, it's me, but I'm not looking at this as the company. So the way I would work it is you charge $800, and of that, I receive $125. That's how this machine works. When somebody wants to sign up for the 21-day program, you work with them. You have access to all of my materials. I get $125 of the $800, and that's the way this grows. I will lead the charge of driving people to this group. I'll continue to put out materials. But it has to become ultimately just a massive resource, as if it were, you know, Atkins created his own language, and there were all these Atkins groups. But this is more under the radar. This is just 5 people a day. This is not mass marketing. After the 21 days, you charge and do whatever that you want with each client. The only financial caveat would be this. When they join, they pay you, $125 of it goes to me or to Be Better Solutions, and then they get put in a separate group, which is for the people who are paying. And ongoing, they can stay in that group for $18 a month. The more that this generates, the more this gets my full attention. So if you guys like this idea, then we would devote some time in our next calls to discussing specifics of circadian nutrition and why it is superior to any diet. We will spend some time discussing the appropriate stress adequate recovery style of exercise, stress recovery balance. We would learn to use the term biomovement for the type of exercise we utilize. I haven't seen that used anywhere else. That becomes our part of our language. We will come to understand neuroplasticity, how thinking is physical, and how we can create neural rewiring in our clients. We will master the 6-point secret and teach it. We will talk about correcting imbalance. This is all within the group. This is what everyone in the group is hearing us discuss, and these are the questions we're answering for them. We will talk about reversing inflammation. The only thing the group will not do is say, here's what you do. Here's the exercise. Here's the diet. Here's the program. We'll all become masters in this. We'll talk about endocrine maladaptation and how to correct it. As a business model, it just plays right into the reach, the funnel, the spillover. Consistency in pricing, $800 for the 21-day program. If you happen to get a $6,000 client, which I would encourage, you still pay just $125. I think it unifies us in a way that no large company can really do. I think we could operate as a unified force. And, you know, when I've been in the role of the company, one of my strengths has always been building a team, building a family. Well, here the family is the team. It's one and the same. There are 4 things that people would have to learn when they come into the group. These are 4 things you would have to teach. 1, mindset is vital. Now, it doesn't just mean psych up. It's so much more than that. Mindset is vital because mindset is the program that runs the endocrine system. Trainers don't understand this. Doctors don't understand this. You guys understand it. And even if you understand it at a baseline level, we'll learn more. Mindset is the program that runs not only whether or not they'll stick to the exercise, that's almost secondary at this point. Mindset is the program that runs the endocrine and immune system. And the endocrine and immune system are, in essence, the brain and the gut. And together, it all determines the state of the cell. So people would need to understand that. I can't just give you an exercise program. It's not going to be effective to reverse your weight loss resistance. You need to understand many elements. One of them is mindset. Secondly, chronic disease is a cellular issue. Obesity is a metabolic chronic disease. Weight loss resistance is a metabolic disease, and chronic disease is a cellular issue and cannot be treated curatively in the macro. What I mean by that is when somebody moves past the tipping point, there are three levels of state of chronic disease: acute, chronic, and then a genetic shift. And when somebody is either chronic or worse yet, when they go through that genetic shift, there's no exercise program that will undo it without the other pieces. There's no diet that will undo it without the other pieces. So chronic disease is a cellular issue and cannot be treated curatively in the macro. It can't just be a trainer taking you through workouts. It will not work. No diet is going to be right. No single diet is going to be right. Paleo, raw, throw at me anything you want. I'm going to explain why it will not be the right approach. Why? Because the body has a propensity for adaptation. Whatever diet you throw at the body, it will adapt sooner or later. And if it is in a maladapted state, it will adapt in a maladapted way. What we're doing here is cutting everyone in this group off from other trainers and other doctors because they're not going to learn this anywhere else. In 5 years, might they? In 7 years, yes, because it's science and it'll find its way. But right now, there's nowhere else they're going to learn this. And finally, the only way we can repair appetite and the body's use of sugar and the body's production of energy and the body's fight or flight status is through this type of program. Until somebody proves me wrong, I'll make that statement. So transgenesis becomes the change back, the journey back to the beginning, the creation of a new program, of a different you. Not an acceptance of the diabetic who is manifesting now, but a recreation of the person who didn't need to become a diabetic in the first place. Not a way of managing your thyroid condition. A restoration of the program that never needed to create that thyroid condition in the first place. Give me some feedback, honest feedback. If you think I'm off the wall, that's okay. If I'm speaking over your head, you don't know what I'm talking about, that's okay. If you think I've been shell-shocked by Tiffany, that may be the case. But let me hear something. Or if you don't understand what in the world I'm talking about, then that's okay too. Just tell me. Okay, that sounds like a Phil. We don't know what the hell you're talking about. So tell me where I lost you.
No, I'm following.
I love the idea.
You guys need some time to digest?
Not really.
Any questions I can answer? I love the idea is good. I like that.
Well,
but I want honesty from everybody. Go ahead.
Like Dr. Ack, I'm in one of his leaky gut pages where he has thousands of people, and he has ambassadors. He calls them ambassadors. So when they have questions, they monitor the page and respond and kind of, you know,
who's this?
Dr. Ack.
Oh, okay.
So he has ambassadors that do it talk. It's all leaky gut stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you get people post other stuff, but it's kind of, you know, like he has people that do that. His lingo. I think it's an awesome idea.
Good. Tasso, why silent?
Because I'm so switched on by it.
Silence is not the natural state of Tasso.
I understand because I'm measuring myself because I want to tell you something that makes the 5 a day so easy, but I probably need to tell you about it offline.
Okay.
I mean, I'll share it if you don't mind. Won't get mad at me.
Go ahead.
I saw this. I came across this device, and it's like a geomarketer. So what it is you record your message, and it gets sent to every Android phone that is within 100 yards of you. And then that Android that message then drives into your landing page that could be your health begins now type of thing. And it's like in our case, we're going to put it under our street sign because we have such a busy intersection. So within the 90 days, the guy says it's going to be, he'll have it for Apple phones as well. But imagine driving hundreds of people a day. Like you go, the thing fits in your pocket. It looks like a stack of $3 half-dollar coins is about the size of it. And you have the capability of changing the message, and every day if you want, several times a day. And it's like $195 at first, and it's the first 3 months of helping the broadcast. And then it becomes $45 a month. I'm sitting here thinking.
Wait, explain to me. So I'm driving by. What happens to my phone?
Your phone receives as if you were receiving a text message. You know how you get alerts on your phone?
No, oh, I hate this.
What it does, it tunes into the Android phones, and you get an alert on your phone. The alert says, welcome to Bodies Personalized Fitness. Hear about our transgenesis program, whatever the message is, and then it drives you to a landing page. And you can literally change the landing page to be fit facts one day, whatever you want. But it's like sort of an amazing kind of deal. And the thing is, it's got to be 2 inches in diameter by about a half to three-quarters of an inch thick. So you can literally, it's weatherproof. You can put it like out under a sign, or you can put it in your pocket and walk around the mall or go to a football game or wherever you want. Think about going to a Florida football game with that freaking thing broadcasting to all those phones that are in the audience.
I know. Here's why I hate it, though, Tasso. It's not yours. I mean, everybody who's marketing is going to have one of these devices, and how annoying does that become? And then you're going to get something to block it. I mean, it's just that's one of the things about technology that becomes frustrating is people are gaining access to you. I'm just looking at it as the consumer, not as the marketer. Marketing, it's a brilliant idea. As a consumer, I'm thinking more people are just getting access to my phone, you know?
But the problem, the way I understand that's part of it, Phil, but I think if you're an early adapter and you use that, you've got maybe 3 months, 6 months, and then people are going to catch up to you.
Right.
But then you got to find the next place, But by then, maybe you get the thousands into the program. Think of the potential of that.
Yeah, listen, I love it. I love the potential. I hate it on the consumer end. But what I do love is this, to me, what I'm talking about comes down to 5 a day, no matter what. It doesn't matter what technology does. It's easy to talk to 5 people a day and say, go to this group. Whether you would choose to email them, hand them a business card, and I would gladly make up little cards that we can hand people. It's not reliant on any technology, which I love.
Which
so, yes, if we could use the technology, great. But I wouldn't want to become dependent on something like that. And I do want to make sure that there's something very insulated about this group. And what I think it is the language, is that if everybody here has an expertise that is truly science-based, that once you're in this group, the more you learn, the less places, the fewer options you have for going for truth at your level. So great. I mean, if that really drives people, beautiful. I'm fantastic. I think sooner or later it becomes exhaustive because if everyone now has access to everybody's phone, people at the football game are going to be blocking it or turning off their phone because, how many people have that idea, right?
Yeah.
So. It's a little scary.
I mean, it's a very short window, That,
right, right. Somebody knocked on your door and sold it to you?
No, Mark Davis. You know Mark? Mark used to be the sales trainer for Mike Chait with CMS, and he bought the company from him. Mark called me about it the other day because a guy out in Salt Lake City had developed it and brought it to them for use at their club from the university out there. And he said, listen, I need 10 guys to try this. I said, you know, for $200 for 3 months of marketing, count me in if I can hit every Android that walks
by. So it literally broadcasts a text to everybody in the vicinity.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, so moving that to the side, though, do you get what I'm smoking here?
Yes, yeah? Absolutely. So does that mean we're not going to have that webinar for all Be Better groups next week?
No. You know what? We still can. I'm really carefully thinking who becomes a part of this, and my want would be that this becomes so immersive that it could truly become all that I do, honestly, because it connects me with the practitioners. I would certainly bring in a handful of doctors who I'm connected with now, but the beauty of this is, in the eyes of everyone in the group, you and the doctors are on the same level. You know, you are the experts in the science of transgenesis. And we'd have to be careful, because I'd monitor it all the time, that nothing else sneaks into the group. And I'm very certain that I will not open my eyes to Dr. Axe and Dr. Pompa and, you know, all of their other practices. Not that there's anything wrong with them, but I want this group to be, again, the purity of the mission. I don't want it to become corrupted in any way. So if all of us have the opportunity to capitalize from this group, then I would love nothing better than to truly devote 100% of my career moving forward to building this community of what could be 2.5 million people. Honestly, I mean, that's not like just a pipe dream. I'm looking at this as very realistic. So it's a way that the Be Better integrates with transgenesis, and it all becomes one.
So Phil, clarify. Give me some clarity on this.
Yes.
So Be Better Platinum starts a year or so ago.
Right.
We have a syllabus that says, look, we're going to divide this up into four quarters, and the first quarter is going to be this, and then it's going to be building value, and then it's going to be the marketing, and then it's going to be the science, okay?
Right, right.
Because of the evolution of your journey, I believe...
Well, I'm going to tell you two things. Because of my evolution of the journey, and because of the response or non-response of this group, and if you listen back to some of the calls, you're going to feel a clear sense that I'm moving towards something and the response is lukewarm at best. And, you know, I've really tried to bring everybody to the point where let's set milestones and work together to coach each other and get in a hot seat. And there's a lot of reluctance. And I feel that on an individual level from the people in this group. So I have, based on those two things, changed gears. Always looking for what is the best way to move forward. And, you know, Tasso, if you give me the strength finders test, I'm always going to come out very high and strategic, because that's what I do. I take a pulse. I assess. I look. I do it with every client. I do it with everything I do. You know, what is the response? How are people coming along with this? And I'm never going to force it based on a syllabus or a curriculum if there isn't a true metamorphosis taking place. So to me, at this point in time, when I look at it, I've looked at many things. I've looked at the fact that your guy Troy, as an example, took people through this scaled-down version of the 21-day program by using a 9-minute routine and got people with weight loss resistance results. I look at things like that and I go, when this works so well, why would people have such a hard time trying to figure out what works? Why are people struggling so much? I don't mean you guys. To get clients. Why are people struggling so much to increase their value? So there was a difficult line that I walked for a long period of time. Do I make my stuff usable by everyone in the group, or do they get offended by that because they feel like they want to create? So Velma, as an example, she's like, I want to learn this, I want to learn this, and then she goes, I don't want to just do what you do, I want to just do my own. You know, so I've gotten this very mixed back and forth, but what I've come to realize is, what I'm doing now with this actual program and the structure of it and the language and the doctors who are on board, it works better than anything I've ever seen. Why would I not do it in a way that connects with you, and do it in a way that connects with profit. So as I'm meeting with the doctors who I'm working with now, and I think I told you I'm now running this program in Boca Raton with a couple of doctors, I want to share that with you guys. So it's not just Phil's evolution. It's Phil's evolution combined with what I get from you guys as a group and the individual conversations we've had. Did I answer your question before you fully asked it?
Yeah, but I also think that, I you know, sometimes I look back and I go, holy shit, did Phil have this in mind from the start? I understand we're off the pathway that he laid out for us in the syllabus, but I think what we're at right now, Phil, is so much more connected to the medical community, so much more impactful than it was a year ago. If you would have told
Absolutely.
Me a year ago this is where we're going to be,
yep.
I don't know that I would have believed you. I would have said, well, Phil's just blowing smoke up our ass now about what he's going to do. This truly is moving from that standpoint of it differentiates. It gives us the ability to develop a club without walls where
yep.
where we generate that residual income. And you know, you at some point you have to put your ego aside and say, let me just learn. You know, that's been the hardest part for me, is to put the ego aside of, I want to be able to say it's Tasso's program. I've got myself to say, look, I got a mentor named Phil Kaplan, and this is what we're doing. You know, do I have a desire and ego to want to teach that and be the guy that delivers it? Absolutely, and I feel that this has evolved to that point through what you're telling us the next 20 weeks are going to be like.
Yeah, I want to read you just a quick text from a doctor. Let me just get this. I don't want to read you the whole thing because there's some personal stuff here, but all right, I'm just going to read you one line. But it just says, I've never had patients as excited about any program. As much as they're excited about the metabolic reboot. Can we start this thing October 10th? Blah, 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 on and on and on and on. And this is from a doctor who has had so many mentors and different programs that they've offered. So my evolution is not only my evolution, it's my experience. It's what I see. It's what I touch. It's what I come in contact with. So when doctors are saying that to me, I feel like, how do I communicate this to the Be Better group where they get it and they want to be in it and they want to do the same thing? So that's where this comes from. And here are the mistakes I made, or the lessons. At one time, I was going into hospitals, and I had four hospitals that I was running the program in. And every single one of them had such a horrible bureaucracy that it became very difficult. The program would make money, and then everybody wanted to get a piece of it. And marketing needed to be involved, and legal needed to be involved. So it all led to this place where I feel like exactly what I said. Can the talent become the capitalist? Can we be both? And I think, yes, I think this is the platform for doing that. And doctors come into this, but not on a higher pedestal. They're on the same level as you. So no longer is this a hooking our caboose to the medical field. This becomes a community. And the doctor and the alive coach or the metabolic reboot practitioner, whatever you guys become, is the only expert that exists. And the fact that you will give them the same consistent information as the doctor in the group is powerful. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to analyze their labs, but you're not going to contradict the doctor, and the doctor won't contradict you.
Yeah. And you know, Phil, When I've had the opportunity to talk to physicians and explain the science, you know, a lot of these guys, they go like, it strikes a chord with them because, you know, they've forgotten it or they never knew it. You know, they look at you in a different light from that standpoint. And, you know, there's one other thing I wanted to say, and that's this, is that, you know, one of the things in starting to go the $6,000 route for 10-week programs, the one thing that I've discovered is, you know, I didn't have to change a lot of what I did for 30 years from the standpoint of our knowledge, training techniques, and that type of thing. What happened, Phil, was after they've gone through this program and they have that knowledge and they have the things that they can do, then what happens is now they're going in and doing, because when we get them back to that level where they're not chronic and we've reversed the genetic adaptation that's occurred, then what happens? They're a normal person again. Now normal exercise routines work for them. But now the novice has an effect on it, or whatever your philosophy can be, yoga.
1,000% accurate. That's why it's a reboot.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And so now you're getting $125 if that's your rate, or you're getting $75 for rate for what you were doing for $30 or $35 before. And they look at it and go, "Shit, this is a bargain. This is a bargain. I'm paying three times the price I would have paid 5 years ago for this guy." And it drives that value. Your value has raised that much through introducing it in this fashion that your core product becomes that great in value. And that's what someone like, and I don't need to speak out of turn, I'm not speaking against Velma, but that's what someone like a Velma that wants to run her own program because she loves yoga, she loves boot camp, that's what they don't understand, I don't think. I don't think they grasp that concept.
Who are you talking about that loves yoga, loves boot camp?
Velma, you know, she had that, her boot camp or yoga.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, they don't understand the value it brings to their product in the aftermath.
Right. The word reboot is really, it's a recreation of the original you. That's the concept. We're bringing you back. It's like when you reboot your computer to its original programming. You were programmed for health. Your programs got corrupted. Whether you got viruses, you just opened too many windows. You know, your programs got corrupted. And this reboot is a bringing you back to the divinity of health. That is, in fact, the state of the cell. That's what we're born into. So when we start to understand that it is the result of environment and toxins and all of the things that you've put in your body and done to your body, it's not a matter of just stopping those things. See, that's the mistake people make. They think if I just stop, I'll be okay. But once they've crossed that line, once they've gone through a true flicking of a genetic switch, it doesn't go back by itself. That's why it's a reboot. So you're absolutely right. Once you get that reboot, yes, then yoga works the way it works for everyone else. And Pilates works the way it works for everyone else. But the number of people afflicted with weight loss resistance in some form or another is massive, and nobody ever told them that. So they just think yoga didn't work for them, or they didn't stick with it long enough, or it's not right for them. So yes, you're right. It becomes a reboot that after the 21 days or the 10 weeks or the 20 weeks, all of a sudden, they have much greater options, and everything works. 100% accurate. Good. Any other thoughts? Tammy, I heard you. Tasso, I heard you. Tony, I'm not sure I heard much from you.
Yeah, I'm here. I actually had a meeting with a doctor friend just yesterday because he wants me to be involved with a medically... I forget the term he used, but a medically monitored, a medical weight loss program. And he's a very good friend. We've been friends for quite some time. And what was interesting is when I started, he's a trauma surgeon and a cosmetic surgeon by practice. And what was interesting was how much he didn't know in comparison to what we discuss here.
Well, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Nobody knows this. I'm not saying I'm the only one who knows this, but nobody's pulled things together in the way that I have. There are many people much smarter than me. But what we have here is a science-based technology that absolutely works to reverse chronic disease. So when a doctor understands it, they get on board. There's nothing here that we're doing that is radical. It's all evidenced. It's just being put together in a way that nobody has ever combined parasympathetic recovery with circadian nutrition, with restoration of the insulin and the leptin receptors. Nobody's ever put these pieces together in a way that therapeutically they can give the patient or the client the ability to heal. And that's really what this is. So when a doctor understands that, how could they resist it? How could they say, oh, no, I'm opposed to the patient healing their own chronic disease? whether they're a cosmetic surgeon or a podiatrist, if they understand that this is the science-based model that gets people well, they will come to embrace it.
And here, it just two things for me that I'm talking about resistance, because he was a little bit resistant, because one of the things I was saying, we were talking about catchphrases and names, because he wants to put those stuff online, and one of the things I talked about, I guess, catchphrase, get off your meds. And he was pretty resistant to that because he didn't want to make a guarantee, you know, regarding, you know, that being one of the lead aspects of the program.
The but guarantee of what? Getting people off their meds?
Yes.
And nobody could make that guarantee. Well,
exactly.
Here's what we can guarantee, though. Here's what we can guarantee. Their meds will not make them well. That I can guarantee.
Right.
Hey, Tony, can I ask you a question? And you may not know the answer to this.
I'm sorry?
The program that he offers, he says it's a medically monitored program. I know what that means up here when we talk about language. It's basically a 500 or 600 calorie meal replacement program to get them ready for the bariatric surgery kind of stuff. Is that what this program is?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. Because we're in the process of, you know, he called me into it. We met for the first time yesterday, Wednesday, and. Okay. He wants to hear, you know, more about it because obviously he's dealing with people who are, he doesn't do bariatrics, he does cosmetics. So he may be working with people post-bariatric and tummy tucks and all the rest of the stuff. And but he sees that there's a need for it, whether it's going to be people who are contemplating bariatric or after bariatric that need to continue. You know, so obviously he's being presented with the needs with it, in all honesty. He was dealing with being subcontracted by a less than ethical cosmetic surgeon who was marketing through Groupon. So he's like, I got to do something different here than this. Well, that's one thing. So it was relevant because, once again, I met with someone about it this week. And you know, one of the challenges I'm resisting, if I can be very, very candid with you, is the desire to create, Phil. And I'm not saying that I want to go ahead and say, take all the things that I've learned and say, okay, well, here's my version of it. It's just that when I learned all this stuff, until, you know, fairly recently when you started putting it all together in the program, the first thing I'm thinking is, you know, okay, I'm learning all this stuff, but we didn't have a program put together, but my mind automatically goes there, you know, because this is just how the way I've operated this at this point in time. So I'm just conscious of it and resisting it.
Okay, well, think about it this way. The 21 days, the metabolic reboot, would have to be uniform. And I went through this when I first brought this into hospitals. I went through this in the first research study I did with Hopkins and the Merit Athletic Clubs. It had to be a protocol. This was really clear, and we had legal involved in it, and we had supervision involved in it. Because if it was going to be brought to a hospital, it couldn't be variant upon the trainer. That became really important. It had to be a protocol. So that was a challenge in working with the Merit Clubs, is I only took those trainers who, A, took my course, B, passed the test, and C, verbally acknowledged that they'd be willing to take people through the protocol and not change it, because I understand that desire to create. But then there's the issue of, in this case, we're talking about 21 days of a proven protocol. What part of you, and you don't have to answer this, but what part of you would feel like, if you're one of the few people in the world who can administer this protocol, you'd need to create some variation of it? Because whatever part of you that is needs to be dismissed because it's completely irrational. Now, with that said, after the 21 days, create whatever you want. Just don't alienate people from the principles. Do you know what I'm saying? You could create anything. They're not locked in to follow me or to follow, but they, if they're going to sign up for the 21-day metabolic reboot, it is a protocol and you are the administrator of that protocol. But if you know that that will work to bring them a change, what, you know, again, just ask that question. What part of me would want to trade that for something I'm creating?
Right.
Because you could create afterwards. And that's, you have to figure that out for yourself. I appreciate your honesty in that. But if it would drive you crazy in week two that why am I doing Phil shit when I need to figure out my own, then absolutely you shouldn't do it. But if, you know, you can quiet that part of you and go, hey, wait a minute, I'm one of, you know, a handful of trainers who's using this, I wouldn't want a heart surgeon who goes, yeah, you know what, I learned this technique, but I'm going to try to create my own way. Yet, that heart surgeon can create whatever protocols he wants for restoration of health after the surgery, right? So this is the reboot, and that's just, you know, something you should think about, is can you be comfortable being one of few in this group, or must everything you do have your fingerprint on it? And it's, you know, it's an important question to ask yourself.
And Tony, please remember my sort of aha to this whole thing is that the 21 days, we need to let our ego out of it and follow the protocol because it brings value to us. So now the meaningfulness of what we're doing in our own universe has its value's been raised. I don't know if that makes sense what I'm saying, but it's the kind of thing that think about the potential and the ease of going back to all these people who got on a mailing list from your weight loss study and being able to offer this 21-day program. And only if you get 1% or a 0.5% of it, what the revenue would do and what the credibility of your program would become to the boot camp or whatever you run in your facility at Staten Island when they complete the 21 days. It is truly, though I may be wrong, it's truly a reach and a funnel situation that you're doing for your program you run in your facility.
Yeah, and Tony, I don't want to talk into anything. I mean, I really appreciate your candor with it. So just think about what I said and see where you land.
Right. Well, I mean, look, you don't have to talk me into it at all. It's just that, and just the background of it was the fact that when we were learning all this stuff, once again, to be very candid with you, I'm thinking that I'm putting together a 20-day program on my own before you introduced the 21 days. So I was actually in the process of putting it all together. You know, and obviously mine wasn't going to be tested because I was going to be speculating, just like, you know, the Slim Down program I did put it together. It just made sense. Okay, then let's roll it out and see what happens. So, I mean, I'm not resistant to it at all. It's just that that's where I was headed, and I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned it. So I'm not, you know, I don't have to be sold on it at all. I just wanted to mention it where I was.
Okay, and then also remember the way I started the call, that you need to be the capitalist and the talent. The capitalist and the talent. And sometimes as the talent, we do things because it's our passion, and then we say, I wish I made more money. And we need to be in a place where we say, I do things because I'm the talent and it makes me money. And that's different than most trainers.
All right, read the script.
Right.
I get it.
Okay.
I get it.
April? Is it there in April?
Yep.
Any thoughts at all? If not, it's okay.
I don't.
Okay. We'll talk a different time, yes?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. All right, guys, so digest. Think about it. I'll post the call if you want to listen back to any parts of it.
Sure.
Yeah.
One more thing.
Do
we have all the materials associated with the 21-day program? We have access to, or have you had access to that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I've sent you a link in the past to every single download from the 21-day program.
Okay.
I can send it to you again.
Okay, please do that.
But it has 2, 4, 6, 7 webinars and daily downloads for 21 days.
I'm all good.
All right, guys. I'm excited about where this is going. I hope I can take you with me on that. And I'm free to talk anytime you guys want to call individually. And until our next call, I leave you with the words I always leave you with. Be better, everybody. Bye-bye.